Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Samach Bet Amad Aleph, 8 lines down. The Gemara is discussing the placement of the Mizbeach in the Bayit Sheni. The fact that they had expanded the Mizbeach in Bayit Sheni. What right did they have to expand the Mizbeach in Bayit Sheni? And then how did we know that from the Psukim, the ability to expand it, to enlarge the Mizbeach, which they did in Bayit Sheni. So the Gemara says, Bishlama Bayit Minkara Tzurato. When it comes to the structure of the Beit HaMikdash, when they returned during Beit Sheni, they knew where to place things because, as Rashi notes here, the foundations were still intact. Even though the Beit HaMikdash had been destroyed by Bavel, nevertheless, they didn't uproot it to the point where you didn't see the foundations. So from the foundations, you could figure out where the Kodesh was, where the Kodesh HaKodeshim was, where the Ezerot were, because all of those foundations were there. El HaMizbeach Menayodeh. On the other hand, Mizbeach, how did they know where it was? Assuming here that it was destroyed and that the foundations weren't there, it's not something that has deep foundations to it, something that sits on the surface of the floor of the Azara, and that they would not be able to identify. Even though technically if you used measurements, you should be able to triangulate to where the Makom HaMizbeach was. Nevertheless, it seems clear here that you need a Mesora to tell you where the Mizbeach is. You can't just measure it. So you either need some identifying marks that tell you that this is the Misora, or then you need an explicit Misora as to where the Mizbeach was. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Re'u Mizbeach Banoi, they saw a vision of the Mizbeach built, Michael Asara Gadol, and Michael, the great ministering angel, Omeru Makriv Alav, is standing there and bringing Korbanot on the Mizbeach. So now, whether that means that Bashamayim, and the Mikdash Bashamayim, that's the vision they had, and we know that the Mikdash B'Shamayim is aligned with the Mikdash Lamata. So if they could see where the Sar HaGadol and the vision was above, then they'd also know where it was below. Or whether the vision was a vision here where the Beit HaMikdash is supposed to be, they had a vision where the Mizbeach would be, and that identified for them the placement. This might be a veiled reference to the Agadotah with regards to the Haktarat Neshamot of the Tzadikim on the Mizbeach, and the question which is found in the Torah, Siman Kuf Chof, about how to parse the sentence in davening in Ritzei, which it says there, Betshevet Avoda Devir Beitecha, V'Ishei Yisrael, U'Tfilatam, Ba'avat Tekabel Beratzon. The Ishei Yisrael over there, the question what the Ishei are. The Ishei Yisrael, does that mean the Korbanot of B'nai Yisrael? You see, Ishei Yisrael, U'Tfilatam, Ba'avat Tekabel Beratzon. That they should be returned and then you will accept them. Or does it go to the first part of the sentence, which is, Veshevet Avoda Devir Beitecha, V'Ishei Yisrael, that you should return the Avoda and the Ishei Yisrael, return the Avoda and the Korbanot that are going to be brought. And that might have to do with what is the definition of Ishei Yisrael. Does Ishei Yisrael mean the Korbanot? Or does Ishei Yisrael, from the term, quote unquote, Ish Yisrael, is that referred to the Neshamot of the Tzadikim? And therefore it would be Ishei Yisrael Tfilatam, the Korbanot of the Neshamot of the Tzadikim and their Tfilot you should accept. And that would be then a reference to this idea here that Michael is standing there being Makriv, the Ishei Yisrael, quote unquote, on the Mizbeach. It's an Agadotah, might correlate with the Agadotah over here. V'Yitzchak Naf Kamar, Ifro Shel Yitzchak Ra'u Shumanach Boto Makom. They found a pile of ashes, which was the, quote-unquote, Akedat Yitzchak. We know the Makom of Mizbeach aligns where the Makom of the Agedah was in Har HaMoriah. So that's how they knew the placement of the Mizbeach. Bishmor Banachmane Amar, Mikol HaBayit Kulo Herichu Reach Toret. Everywhere else where you went in the Beit HaMikdash, you smelled Ketoret. Misham Herichu Reach Evarim. Over there, when you smelled the fragrance of cooking meat or barbecue. So they knew that that was the location of the Mizbeach. Similarly here, it's not in actuality because we're long after the Korban HaBayit here in the return. They're 50, 70 years later. So it doesn't sound like this is in actuality, but again, another vision or some sort of prophetic experience that gave them an indication as to where the placement of the Mizbeach was. Amar Rabba Bar Chana Rabbi Yochanan, Shlosha Nevi'im Alu Imahem Min HaGola. There were three Nevi'im that ascended with Bnei Yisrael when they returned from the Gola. Chagai, Zechariah, Umalachi. Echad, Shid Lehem on the Mizbeach. One of them that gave evidence to or instructed them with regards to the sizing of the Mizbeach. That's what we learned before, the ability to expand the Mizbeach. beyond the size of Shlomo HaMelech. V'chad she'id lehem amakom ha'mizbeach. One of them that told them where the Mizbeach, in the visions that we spoke about before, are prophetic visions. So they had a Navi that had that prophecy, or they had a Navi who could indicate to them where the placement of the Mizbeach was. V'chad she'id lehem shemakrivim ha'pupi she'im bayit. And the other one, or the last one, that told them that you're allowed to be makriv even though there's no Beit HaMikdash, which is that Kedusha Rishona Kitsha L'Shata U'Lekitsha L'Atid Lavo, that the first Kedusha was a permanent Kedusha, and therefore, like the Gemara in Megillah says, you can be makriv korbanot without walls, without Beit HaMikdash, because the Kedusha is still extant. They did put up curtains while they were doing the Avoda because of Tzniut, not because there was any halachic reason to do it. They did it because they wanted the Avodah to be done with Tzniut. So they put those up while they built the Beit HaMikdash. But they already put the Beit HaMikdash into service, or the Mizbeach into service, prior to the building of the Mikdash itself. And that's based on the Nevuah here that tells them that you're allowed to be Makriv, even though there are no walls, there is no Beit HaMikdash. Even though some of these items seem like Chidushim, and we know that a Navi is not Rashai L'Chadesh Dabar, Navi doesn't have a right to bring anything new or any new halacha. The only right that a Navi has is to tell you a message from Hashem or explain something that already exists or reiterate something that already exists in the Torah. They can't come up with some new halacha or some new instruction that doesn't exist in the Torah. So that complicates things over here, because first of all you have the Nevuah about the expansion of the Mizbeach, as well as the Nevuah with regards to Kedusha Rishona Kitsha L'Shaita V'Kitsha L'Atid Lavo. So what many of the Achronim point out is that all of these items that are mentioned here are either what's called Beirur Mitziut. They're just telling you in actuality what's there. If the Kedusha exists, and they just tell you the Kedusha exists, they're not being Mechadesh anything. Even though the Halacha, the Kedusha Rishona Kitsha L'Shaita V'Kitsha L'Atid Lavo, is in some ways a Chiddush because you need to know that, and we have Machlokot about that. Nevertheless, what it is saying here is that if there is Kedusha, all they're doing is identifying the fact that there is Kedusha. They're not being Mechadesh something. They're just telling you the fact that there is Kedusha here. From that, you could surmise that Kedusha Rishona is permanent. And similarly, with the sizing of the Mizbeach, that we learned out from the Psukim above, and as we noted before, that they had a drusha that Shlomo HaMelech didn't make, or in essence, the Nevuah told them about this drusha, which means that they're not mechadesh anything, they're just helping to understand or interpret the pasuk properly in such a manner that it would give them the information to allow them to expand the Mizbeach. And as far as the placement of the Mizbeach, again, it's not a chidush, it's just identifying for them the location of the previous Mizbeach, and through that, they could figure out what they needed to do. But again, all of these are what's called birur mitziut. It's just identifying facts that exist, it's not being mechadesh anything that they didn't know before. Matznita Tano, in a bright that we have, Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Omer, Shlosha Nevi'im Alu Imahem in Agula. There were three Nevi'im that ascended with them from the Gula. Echad She'id Lehem Al Mizbeach. One, like we said before, that gave them the information about expanding the Mizbeach, or as we noted before, interpreting the Psukim correctly, so you could come to that conclusion. V'amakom HaMizbeach, similar to what we saw before, the placement of the Mizbeach. One of them gave both pieces of information, both the fact that the size of the Mizbeach can be larger, or as we said before, the interpretation of the Psukim that allows for one to expand on the Mizbeach, and the placement of the Mizbeach. That was all done by one Navi. The other one, again, telling them that Kedusha Rishona is Kitsha L'Shaita V'Kitsha L'Atid Lavo. As we expressed it above, it means he's identifying for them the fact that it is Kadosh, and which would then lead you to the conclusion that the Kedusha Rishona was significant. The last one of them was the change that took place at the time of Ezra, discussed in the Gemara Megillah, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, regards to the fact that the original Torah was given B'Ktav Ivri, and then later on they switched to what we know today as the block lettering of B'Ktav Ashurit, changed in the time of Ezra, and obviously they needed Nivuah in order to do something like that, or to give permission for them to switch to Ktav Ashrit. As Rashi quotes over here from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, She mitchila nitna lahem b'ktav Ivri. In the beginning, it was given to them in the Ivri script, which is a Shuktav libona'a. Rashi says over here, in quoting from the Gemara there, that which is a large letter script. They switched to the Ktav HaShrit, which was a blocked letter or squared out letter, versus the more cursive Ivrit writing. It's also at that time they had the option to switch from Hebrew to Aramaic, and they actually chose to stay in Hebrew in Ktav HaShrit instead of taking Ktav HaShrit with Aramaic. That's what the last Navi helped with in order to be matir or give permission for that switch in terms of the Ktav of the Sifrei Torah. The Balei HaTosafot ask a number of questions over here, the first of which is, why did they need a Navi to tell them about the size of the Mizbeach? It says, Tema, Kro Ktiv Yecheskel. Didn't we learn before from the Pasuk in Yecheskel, Bariel, Shtemesre Amot, that the Mizbeach was 12 from the center, meaning that the top of the Mizbeach was 24 by 24. From there, we learned before, and in the Mishnah Midot, that the size of the Mizbeach would end up being 32 by 32. It says, Yesh Lamar, Di Lavi Dut, and if Hashinim im Makom Kranot, Shlo Lishnot Mizbeach Shlomo. Had it not been for the Nevoah, we'd have explained 24 at 24 not being the center part of the Maracha, which was the pyre area, which would then mean you can add on afterwards, you have to add on the Amah for Makom, Hiluch Kohanim, Amah for the Karen, Amah for the Sovev, Amah for the Yisod, so you end up with 32 by 32. You would have otherwise thought that the 24 by 24 is the whole platform on top, including the Makom Hiluch Raglei Kohanim and the Kranot, because then you actually would end up just adding on one Amah for the Sovev and one Amah for the Yisod, and you'd end up with something that's 28 by 28, which is the same size as Shlomo Melech. So we would have interpreted the 24 by 24 not to be the pyre area of the top, but the whole top. And then the measurements would have equaled Shlomo Melech, and that wouldn't necessarily lead to the conclusion that you can expand the Mizbeach. Therefore, the Nevuah tells us that the 24 by 24 is actually the area of the pyre or the Maracha area, and therefore you could expand beyond and make it into a Mizbeach that's 32 by 32. Tosafot over here reiterates something that we discussed on Daf Samach with regards to Kedushat Aretz and Kedushat HaMikdash, which is Kedushat Bayit Kidusha L'Shaita U'Latid. The Kedusha Rishona was a permanent Kedusha with regards to the Beit HaMikdash. Lo Domei L'Kedushat Aretz. It's not similar to Kedusha Aretz, the Kaimalon de Betela, that it was nullified or did not survive the Galut or the destruction of Eretz Yisrael. We're going to see this again in the beginning of Chulin, that there were areas of Eretz Yisrael that did not have the Kedusha because they were only there in Bayit Rishon, they were not there in Bayit Sheni. And this is very similar to the view of the Rambam, that the Kedusha of Yerushalayim was permanent, or the Kedusha of Shekhinah is permanent, meaning that in Bayit Rishon that remained forever, whereas the Kedusha of Aretz was lost after the Galut of Nebuchadnezzar and only returned with the Shivat Zion in the time of Zerubbabel and Ezra, and that's what brought back the Kedusha to the Aretz. And that second Kedusha, which Tosafot doesn't address, but the Rambam says, was a permanent Kedusha, because a Kedusha through Chazakah, rather than a Kedusha that came through Kibush. But that distinction that Tosafot indicated to us back on Samach, over here he's in short form indicating that's the case. Alright, so this concludes the section about the expansion of the Mizbeach, or what we started with, which was the fact that the Bnei Gola expanded on the Mizbeach, Arba Amot al Arba Amot. They added on 4 Amot to the southern side, 4 Amot to the western side, in order to move the Mizbeach from the time of Shlomo, which was 28 by 28, to the Mizbeach of the Gola to 32 by 32. I just will note here an explanation that's given by Rav Yoel Ben Nun with regards to why that was. And he explains that when it comes to the situating of a Mizbeach, you have to set up a Mizbeach in such a manner that it's relevant where the directions of the Mizbeach are. If you set up a Mizbeach in your backyard, how do you know how to set up the Mizbeach? In which direction to face the Mizbeach? How to set up the sides of the Mizbeach? So what he points out is that if when you don't have any reference point when a Mizbeach is being set up, then you would actually put the corners of the Mizbeach to the Ruchot Olam, which means that you would then set it up as a diamond towards the Ruchot Olam. Because in that way, you would get a central point in Mizbeach, and then in every direction, it would expand out in a manner that would touch the corners of the Mizbeach. But in that way, it would give you a reference for how to set up the Mizbeach, which is you put it squared, not to the Ruchot Olam, but squared out in such a way, or a diamond, by which it would then, each corner would go to the corners of the world. Makom de Pekisha, of the different directions, north, south, east, and west, would be the center of that Mizbeach. On the other hand, when you have a reference point, for instance, Petach Ol Moed, or something like that, then you can turn the Mizbeach into a square and have the Mizbeach face the Petach Ol Moed. Because then the defining factor is not the Ruchot Olam, but the defining factor is the face of the Mizbeach and the part that faces the Ol Moed. And therefore, your point of contact, the point of central area, would be where the joining or the crossover happens between that which faces Ol Moed and that which is the face of the Mizbeach. And that'll become your central point. So what he shows or what he explains is the reason the Bnei Golah ended up expanding the Mizbeach is because when they first came up, they put down the Mizbeach before the Beit HaMikdash was built. So when they built the Mizbeach before the Beit HaMikdash was built, they set it up as a diamond, because that's the way that you would set up a Mizbeach when there's no reference point. The reference point become then the directions north, south, east, and west, and therefore the corners would face the north, east, south, and west. Then the Bnei Golah, after they built the Mikdash that surrounded it, and then you had a Petach Ol Moed, then you would have the Mizbeach be square instead of a diamond, because now you have a face of the Mizbeach, and something that faces the Petach Ol Moed, and therefore you have a point on the Mizbeach where those two come together, and that's where the Keren would be. And that actually is the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach, is where we have the confluence of the Petach Ol Moed, and they face the Pnei HaMizbeach. That becomes significant. If you actually lay a square over a diamond, if the diamond was 20 by 20, and then you lay a square around that diamond, you'll actually end up with a square that is 28 by 28. And that will explain the expansion of the Bnei HaGolah. Is that they started out with a Mizbeach that was identical to the Mizbeach of Shlomo HaMelech, which had a top area or maracha where the pyre was of 20 by 20 and the totality of the Mizbeach of 28 by 28. Then in order to straighten out the Mizbeach after they had built it as a diamond, when you square it off, that's Kamin Gemet. They added on a Gemet, meaning they added on corners to the Mizbeach to square it out. So then that would face the Petach Ol Moed. Once they had the Petach Ol Moed, they squared it out. But if you lay a square over a diamond, you'll actually end up with an area that's 28 by 28 around an area that's 20 by 20. That explains the expansion. Why they expanded is because instead of turning the Mizbeach, they subsumed the original Mizbeach and squared it out. By squaring it out, that's why you end up with the Marachab 28 by 28 that's surrounded the 20 by 20. And that's Min Gemeh, which means that the corners were squared out. The right angle was squared out. Those right angles are what made it that the Mizbeach then was square, because now you had a Petach Ol Moed, and that becomes the determining factor for the placement of the Mizbeach, or the direction of the Mizbeach, and then whatever is Lifnei Petach Ol Moed, and the Yerach HaMizbeach Tzafona, which would be the northwestern corner, or if you want to have it between the Pnei HaMizbeach and the Lifnei Petach Ol Moed, one of those will become the point that defines the structure or the standing of the Mizbeach. And then for now, you have a way to set it up as a square rather than a rectangle, because your reference is no longer the Ruchot Olam. Your reference now is the Petach Ol Moed and the Yerach HaMizbeach or the Pnei HaMizbeach. And in doing so, you'd square out over a diamond. And that would actually explain the expansion that we just discussed. So he tries to give a reason as to why that happened when the Bnei Golah went up, not just because they decided they needed a bigger Mizbeach, because if you remember, the Mizbeach at the time that they come up, it doesn't need to be so big because there were so few people there. It's only much later on where the population grows and the majority of Jews then end up being in Eretz Yisrael, which takes a very long time. In the beginning, it's a ragtag group of individuals that are there. So you wouldn't need a Mizbeach that was so big. It's only after time they would have expanded it. So this gives explanation as to why very early on they needed to expand the Mizbeach. That's because they were changing it from a diamond to a square. And now the Gemara says, Tarabanan, Keren, Vekevesh, V'isod, V'ribua, Me'akvin. All these aspects of the Mizbeach are Me'akev. The fact that it needs the four corners, the Kronot, the Kevesh, the ramp of the Mizbeach, V'isod, the fact that it has Yisod on the bottom, V'ribua, and the fact that it is a square. All of those are Me'akev. On the other hand, Midat Arko, Midat Rachbo, Umidat Komato, Ein Me'akvin. The other hand, height and length and width are not Me'akev the Mizbeach. So that means that you just need something that is square. So it doesn't matter how big the square is. It just matters that it is a square. And that's what Tosafot says over here, and Rashi mentioned before, We brought pasuk that said that it's compared to the bayit, ma bayit shishim. So to the mizbech shishim doesn't mean it has to be shishim. Means up to shishim. So the measurement is that it can't be up to shishim ama. So when you expand it, you just have to expand it in a way that it has a relative expansion that it remains a square. So you can go all the way up to the 60 amot, and we'll see a little in a minute that there's also a minimum shiur. So between the minimum and maximum shiur, you can use any size as long as that size is a square. Menahani milay. How do we know this is true? I'm Rav Huna Amakra ha mizbeach, because the pasuk uses the term ha mizbeach with the hey ayidya. Kol makom shenemar ha mizbeach la'akev. Anytime it says the word ha mizbeach, it's telling you that it is ma'akev. So what the Gemara is noting, and Rashi brings you the psukim over here, is that all these items have the word ha mizbeach associated with them. For instance, he says ubekeren k'tiv karnot ha mizbeach. When you're talking about the sprinkling of the dam, it says al karnot ha mizbeach, ubi yisod k'tiv el yisod ha mizbeach, v'u kevesh k'tiv el pnei ha mizbeach, the face of the mizbeach, v'hu kevesh shu panav shel mizbeach shalim lo derech sham. Just like the east is the face of the Olmoe, because you enter from there. So too, the face of the Mizbeach must be the ramp, because that's where you enter. That the Mizbeach will be squared out. So all these items have the term HaMizbeach associated with them, and that's why they are Me'akev. Ela Me'ato, cure the Rabbi, the design or the artistic aspect of the Mizbeach to Rabbi, which Rashi describes here as Tzirim Shel Prachim, that they used to have designs or pictures of flowers and Tzitzim V'Klaim and Tzavir the Mizbeach, so that design of the Mizbeach, the Rabbi, this Soveiv the Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, or the Soveiv according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, which we'll discuss in a second, Hachanami de Me'akev, they should also be Me'akev Dichtiv. Benatata utau tachad karkov hamizbeach milamata hamizbeach. That means it's me'akev karkov. But we're saying whatever that karkov is, that must be me'akev. Betanyo ezu karkov. What is the karkov? Rabbi Omer zekiur. According to Rabbi, it's the design and the pictures around the mizbeach and the choshet. Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda Omer zeasoveiv. That is the soveiv that goes around the mizbeach, 6 amot high on the mizbeach. There is a soveiv. According to Rashi, this soveiv was not a real soveiv, but rather it was a koshuhu. It was a small strip that went around the mizbeach, but not something that they walked on. So according to Rashi, there was a soveiv on the mizbeach nechoshet of Moshe Rabbeinu, but it was not a functional soveiv. It wasn't where the Kohanim walked around the mizbeach. Simply a very narrow strip that was there that went around the mizbeach. On the other hand, the Rambam seems to indicate that the soveiv that went around the Mizbeach Nechoshet was a real soveiv, something that the Kohanim could walk around the Mizbeach on. And that was 6 amot high on the Mizbeach. Rabbi, on the other hand, says it refers to tziyur, the decorative aspects there, which are above the midpoint. Remember, the soveiv is 6 amot high, the midpoint of the Mizbeach is 5 amot. So above the midpoint of the soveiv, you would have a design or a strip of design that went around the Mizbeach. Or according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yud, you'd have some sort of line that went around that area at the 6 amot high, which was called the soveiv. So Mar says, in Enochanami, you're right. It seems that for Rabbi the kiur, the tziur, would be me'akev. And for Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, certainly the soveiv is going to be me'akev. The Tanya Otoyom, nifgama keren mizbeach. On that day, there was damage done to the keren, to the corner of the mizbeach. That day is the day when the tztuki went up to do the water libations in Nisoch HaMayim on the mizbeach. Instead of pouring it into the piping, he poured it onto his feet. The people got angry and they threw their etrogim at him. They stoned him with their etrogim. And from the stoning of the etrogim, it ended up doing damage to the keren hamizbeach. They viewed bull shomelach, and they brought a chunk of salt to fill in the missing piece of the mizbeach that was there. Usatmu, and so they filled it in, so they squared it out. Below mipnei shekasher le'avodah, not because putting the salt in there and squaring it out actually makes it kasher levodah, ela shelo yireh mizbeach pagum, so that the mizbeach doesn't look damaged. So it's a matter of kavod that they did this in order that the mizbeach, until they could fix it, look nice, but it wasn't functional anymore because the mizbeach shenifgam becomes problematic, as we've dealt with in the last couple of davim. Shkom mizbeach shein lo keren, Kevish, Visod, Ribua, Pasol. Any Mizbeach that doesn't have these items is Pasol. The Karen, as we spoke before, the Karnot of Mizbeach, Kevish, the ramp, Visod, the base around the Mizbeach, Ribua, and the squaring is Pasol if you don't have it. So here you see explicitly, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda thinks that the Karkov is a Sovev, thinks it is Me'akeh, because it says HaMizbeach over there. Rashi says, from Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda's statement over here, we can extrapolate to Rabbi that to say that he says the same thing. Just like Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, in his position that the Karkov is a Sovev, believes it's Me'akeh, so do Rabbi must believe about the Kiyur that it is Me'akeh. That's Rashi's view over here. Although there are others who want to suggest that the Rambam viewed it differently, and thought that, according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, the Sovev is Me'akev, but according to Rabbi, the Kiyur would not be Me'akev, because we never find that statement explicitly. We find it by Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda here. We don't find anything by Rabbi indicating, otherwise you should have said, Rabbi Omer, Afa Kiyur. So to the design, you don't have that in the Braita, and that may seem to indicate that Rabbi may not believe that it is Me'akev. So Tana Rabbanan, Ezehu Karkov. What is the Karkov? So until now we assumed that the Karkov of the Pasuk was what we just brought the Braita that suggested the Karkov, Rabbi Omer Zekior, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Omer Zesovev. So now the Gemara brings a Braita that seems to indicate that the Karkov was something else. Ben Karen the Karen. The Karkov was something that ran between the Karnot HaMizbeach. Makom Hiluch Raglei HaKohanim Ama. Makom Raglei HaKohanim is an Ama. The Gemara says, that doesn't make so much sense. Ato Kohanim ben Karen, the Karen of Azle. How can the Kohanim walk around the pyre on top of the Mizbeach in the place where the Karnot of Mizbeach are? That is because the Karnot sit on the edges of Mizbeach. If the Kohanim are circumscribing the Mizbeach, they can't do it if the Karen is in the way. It must be that the Makom Raglei Hiluch Raglei Kohanim is inside of that area so that they can make a full square around or circle around the Mizbeach, otherwise they're going to get blocked by the Karnot HaMizbeach. So Ema, so you have to amend the Braita to read this way. Umakom Hiluch Raglei HaKohanim Ama. The area between the Karnot, as well as the area, an Ama inside of that, which is where the Kohanim walked, both of those were considered to be the Karkov. And now, again, Rashi notes over here, the definition of the word Karkov is Lashon Hakef, something that surrounds Vicharitz Agula. And it has some sort of depression that is circular in nature, but it gives you some indication of a location or demarcation of that area, something that goes around and protrudes or is indented to give you identification of the area. So according to the Braita that we just brought, that took place on the top of the Mizbeach. It was between the Karnot HaMizbeach as well as the Ama inside of that. But we had the Braita before that brought Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef Bar Yehuda saying that the Karkov was on the side of the Mizbeach. It was on near where the Sovev of the Mizbeach would have been at 6 Amot high. So how do you explain or reconcile between the Braita we had before and this Braita now that is giving us the definition of the Karkov? Baktiv tachat karkovo milamata et chetzio. The Pasuk says with regards to the asitolo michbar masei reshet, you have to make this kind of chainmail copper design that goes around it. Asitala reshet arbat tavot nechosher abarkat sotav. And then you're going to make the corners of the Mizbeach where the rings were to place the Badim in to carry it. You're going to take this Michbar Reshet and place it below the Karkov on the Mizbeach, below. And that netting or that chain type of design of Nechoshet will then descend to the midpoint of the Mizbeach. So that indicates that it was on the side of the Mizbeach. The Gemara answers, Amar Rav Yonachman Rav Yitzhak Trei Habu. There were two karkovs. Chad Hanoi, one which was decorative in nature. Chad the Kohanim, Delo Nishtarku. That the Kohanim would not slip. So they had one on the side of the Mizbeach, which was decorative in nature. That went from the area of the Sovev to the midpoint. So if you can see over here, in the pictures that I sent out of the Mizbeach, over here it had a strip of an Amah wide. Remember, the Sovev is at the 6 Amot point. The midpoint of the Mizbeach is 5 Amot. So it descends milamata from the Karkov. The Reshet goes from the Karkov, which is at 6 Amot, down to the midpoint, which is 5 Amot, which means an Amah thick Reshet or design that a band that goes around the Mizbeach of an Amah thick. That's the lower Karkov. The upper Karkov is on the Mizbeach itself, and that's what I have here. You can see the designs on the top of the Mizbeach, that the Amah between the Karnot and Mizbeach, as well as the Amah inside of that, have this, whether Michbar Reshet was there as well, or whether it was simply that it was a Karkov, there was a Charitz, some sort of indentation up there, to make it so the Kohanim did not slip on the top of the Mizbeach. It's made out of stone. It's very slippery, especially when it was wet or it rained. It would have been very slippery up there. And the dam and other things that are spilling. So in order to give them traction, they created this karkov on the top of the Mizbeach. Again, whether the karkov is a masay reshet, like it was below, or simply it was, as Rashi describes over here, grooves that were cut in that gave a little strip of an ama around. Either way, it was done to give the Kohanim traction over there. But in that way, we have two different karkovs. A karkov on the top of the Mizbeach, and a karkov on the side of the Mizbeach. And again, the pasuk that mentions the karkov is me'akev, we said in Achanami, the karkov is me'akev, but that karkov is the karkov that is in the midpoint of the Mizbeach, because that's the reference to the karkov that is where Rabbi Yosef Bar Yehuda says, Afa Sovev. Also the Sovev, or the karkov there, is me'akev. Midat Orko Mikdar Rachbo Midat Komoto Me'akvim. The length, width, and the height are not me'akev. What does that mean? Amar Rabbani, b'vajlo yifchatenu mi'bizbeach shasa Moshe. You can't go down below the minimums of Moshe Rabbeinu. V'kamo. What is the minimum of Moshe Rabbeinu? Amar Rav Yosef, amah. That's v'en amah, v'en amah. Michako alei. They laughed at him. What do you mean? The mizbeach of Moshe was not an amah, v'en amah. Chamesh amot orech, acham v'chamesh amot rochav. Rabua, yeah, mizbeach. Mizbeach is a squared out area, 5 by 5 amot. So how can you claim that it's 1 amah by 1 amah? Amar le Abaye, b'dilma makom erachak amarmar. So Abaye says to Rav Yosef, maybe you're referencing to the place of the pyre. You'll remember Rav Yehuda's shita, that the mizbeach is 5 by 5 on top, and the first amah of ring around it are the karnot mizbeach. Second amah is the makom hiluch ragle hakohanim. So that takes up a 2 amah belt around the top. Then all that's left is an amah by amah for the pyre on top. So Bayez says to Rav Yosef, my master, my Rebbe, is that what you meant? Amalei, mar de gaber rabahu. So Rav Yosef replies to Abaye, you who are a great Talmud Chacham, yodot makamina. You know what I was referencing to. That's why you didn't laugh about me saying 1 by 1. Kari alayu, he said about those people that laughed at him, v'nei k'turah. They're the children of k'turah. But they are children of Abraham that are not part of the lineage of Klal Yisrael. Meaning they're not part of the Avot, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But Avram has other children that are sent off. So he says about the other students who were laughing about the fact that he said 1 by 1 amah, and the Torah says 5 by 5, says about them, they're B'nai K'turah. They are outsiders. They don't really understand. They're not real Talmidim. They knew that they'd be able to intuit that the 1 by 1 is referring to that center, Marachah. So from here, you see that there is a minimum size for the Mizbeach. It has to be the size of Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach. And there's a maximum size of Shishim, which is the Hekesh to the Bayit. So there's a minimum and maximum about size, but otherwise it's not Me'akev, except for the fact that it needs to be Rabua. It needs to be square. So you can make it any size as long as the Mizbeach is square. Now what's interesting here is that this is only true according to Rabbi Yossi. According to Rabbi Yossi, who thinks that the Mizbeach is 10 amot high, then the top is 5 by 5, or the maracha, according to Rabbi Yosef mentions, is an amah by an amah. If you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, the top of the mizbeach is 10 by 10, and the maracha is 6 by 6. So how come that's not mentioned over here? So it could be because we paskin maybe like Rabbi Yosef, and that's why he only brought Rabbi Yosef. But does that also mean that there's a minimum size for height of 10 amot? Because if you say we hold like Rabbi Yosef that the top is 5 by 5. Then you also have to hold that the 10-10 is a number also that would be me'akev. So there are different views within the Achronim as to what is me'akev here. Is what's me'akev only those things that are explicit in the psukim? So in the psukim, what's explicit in psukim, 5 by 5, which is what's being described over here. The other thing that's explicit in the psukim is 3 amot high. Even though, according to Rabbi Yossi, he interprets that 3 amot to really be 10 amot high, nevertheless, we still only in the Torah have the explicit 3 amot. And so that means that the minimum height would be 3 amot. The minimum maracha would be 5 by 5. Because those are the things that are explicit in the Torah. Even though Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda interpret those numbers differently. But as far as equal, The only thing that's me'akev would be the 3 amot and the 5x5, even though those are different shitot, that's what would be me'akev. That means that it's neither Rabbi Yossi nor Rabbi Yehuda's shita that's me'akev. It is the combination of their two shitot that's me'akev, which is the maracha of Rabbi Yossi, which is 5x5, and Rabbi Yehuda's height of 3 amot. Those will be things that are the minimum shi'urim with regards to this, because that's what's written explicitly in the Torah. That's the view of the Chok Natan. On the other hand, the Griz gives a different explanation, which therefore brings a different conclusion, which is, the ikub would be vava vava mot, but then why does the Rambam paskin that only 3 amot are me'akev when it comes to the height? That works well according to Rabbi Yehuda, but for Rabbi Yossi, who he paskins like with regards to the maracha, why is 3 amot me'akev? That's because the only part of the height of the Mizbeach that's me'akev is the Makom HaMaracha. The Makom HaMaracha is that block on top that's 3 amot high by 5x5 according to Rabbi Yossi. And that's the area of the Mizbeach that is me'akev. So that means that even though they have a machlok with regards to the length and width, that and the height, only with regards to the length and width is there a machlok about the ikuv. Whereas by the height of the Mizbeach, the ikuv, they both will agree that 3 amot is sufficient, and you don't need the full 10 amot. The chatchilo, according to Rabbi Yossi, would need 10 amot. But the only thing that is me'akev is the 3 amot, because that's the makom ha'maracha, which is the only important part of the mizbeach. And for that reason, that's the only part that's me'akev with regards to the height. So even though the Rambam seemingly passes like Rabbi Yossi about the height of the mizbeach, nevertheless, he says what's me'akev is only the ama ba'ama of the pyre, or the maracha, clear area of the maracha, as well as the 3 amot of height. Tosfot back on Nundalit says the ikuv with regards to ribua only relates to the upper part of the mizbeach or the makom ha'maracha, which would be the gimel amot elyonot. Therefore, that also has implications that we'll see later on today's daf as to things that have to be either separated from the mizbeach or ensure that the mizbeach has a ribua or what is me'akev legabe the height of the mizbeach. Although from the Tosfot Tivrei Matkal Af on our daf over here in Samach Bet, it sounds like, from the answers that he gives there with regards to the height of the Mizbeach, that that is not necessarily true only for the Shlosh Amot, but it's true for the entirety of the Ten Amot on the Mizbeach, that it has to be Rabua or squared out. Because there he's speaking about an issue with regards to Chatat Ha'of, which is done below the Chuta Sikra on the lower half of the Mizbeach, and yet he's still speaking about the issue of Rabua. Right now the Gemara continues, Bnei Achtei Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Tarfon's nephews, Abayatve Kamei the Rabbi Tarfon. They were sitting and learning before Rabbi Tarfon and his shiur. Patach Vamar, he opened up and said to them, he quoted a pasuk, Yosef Abraham Vayikach Isha. So Abraham went and was more productive. He took a wife, Ushma Yochani, and her name was Yochani. Amri Le, all of a sudden his nephews piped up and says, Turaktiv. It says Keturah in the Pasuk. So he was doing this on purpose. He was trying to get them or engage them to talk or speak in the Shiur. They sat there silently all the time. They asked no questions. They didn't respond to anything. They just sat there dumbfounded throughout the Shiur. So he wanted to get them involved. He wanted to engage them. So he quotes a Pasuk which clearly has a mistake in it. And all of a sudden they pipe up and they say something. He finally got them to speak. He says about them, Kari Lehem B'nei Keturah. He said about them, you who jumped in to fix my misquote of the pasuk, which he had done intentionally, they said, oh, it says Keturah. He called them B'nai Keturah. And over here, similar to what Rav Yosef said with regards to the Talmidim before about B'nai Keturah, means that these are people who are well-versed in something and not other things, which is that here, you know Mikra, but you don't know Halacha. So you know to jump up or speak up when I misquote a pasuk, but you don't know Halacha, and that's why you remain silent here when I'm speaking about Halachic topics. So again, B'nai Keturah was that you guys are quasi Talmidei Chachamim, or you're not well-versed in what the halacha is, and therefore you're not speaking up during the halachic discourse. Amar Abaye Bar Rahuna, Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya. Gizirin Shasa Moshe, the logs, or the wood that was placed on the Mizbeach by Moshe Rabbeinu, or Kan Amah, they were a length of an Amah, V'roch Ban Amah, and they also had a width of an Amah, V'ovyam K'machak Godesh Tza'ah. And their thickness was that like a stick, which is called a strike, that is used to wipe off, stacked up, sa'ah. These are the dimensions of the logs that were placed there on the Mizbeach. So now, Amar Rabbi Yirmiah, Bama Giduma. It must be that these were not a full amah long. They had to be slightly short, like a cut-off ama. Amar Rav Yosef, v'lav hainu detanyo. Don't we have a brayta that says, al eitzim asher la'esh asher la'mizbeach? The eitzim, which are on the fire, which are on the mizbeach. Shlo eitzim yotzim in a mizbeach, boom. Eitzim of the mizbeach should not extend beyond the area of the maracha at all. And therefore he says here that you don't have to have an ama geduma. You can have exactly an ama. Because the area of the pyre is an ama by an ama. And says there's an ama by an ama, you have room to put something on that is exactly an ama. You don't have to have an ama geduma and have them short of that area. You have them be exactly an ama and take up the entire area of the maracha. So the size of these two bzirim, as Rashi says, together was an ama in length, an ama in width, and that fit into the maracha. On the other hand, the Shita Mekubetzet in Ot Gimel clearly indicates that he thinks that this is the size of each of the logs that is there. And therefore he says, where is there makom in the maracha to put two logs this size in a maracha that's an ama by ama? And therefore he says, Yesh lomar that you menichim otan al tzidehen, that they used to put them up on their sides, v'ayu notnim kismin bentayim habiram. And then they used to put kindling in between them to fill in the area. So there was kindling around. They were actually standing upright on the ovyam, the width that we spoke about before, which is less than an ama. And the extra space that you have from the width of the two logs being less than an ama by an ama is filled in with kindling to help burn the pyre that's there. And then he also favors the same way that the Balei Tosfot do, reading that the question of ama geduma is not like Rashi who said gideim means cut off or severed, but rather the Oroch Girsa, which is Gruma, which means a bonus or a little extra that's put in the weight. And therefore what he says, Ama Gruma means it was an expansive Ama. That's why Rabbi Yirmiyahu is challenged by Rabbi Yosef, who says that can't be that it's an enlarged Ama or an oversized Ama, because you need to fit it into, based on the Pasuk, an area of the Maracha, which is only an Ama by an Ama. It's not Hotam. We have a Mishnah in Midot. Kevesh Ayad Droma Shel Mizbeach. The ramp was on the southern side of Mizbeach. Orech 32. It was 32 amot long. Arochav 16 and 16 wide. So the ramp up to the Mizbeach sitting on the southern side was 32 amot floor space that it took up. And it was 16 amot wide. Menahani Mile. How do you know that that's the case? Am Ravuna Amakra v'shachat oto al yerach ha-mizbeach tzafona. That you shech the korbanot on the foot of the Mizbeach on the northern side. She yerech b'tzafon. That means that the foot of the Mizbeach is in the north. Upana b'daron. If the feet are in the north, then the face is in the south. Ema yerech b'tzafon. Upana b'tzafon. Who says that? Maybe the feet are in the north and the face of the Mizbeach is in the north. Amarova rami gavra ape. When you speak about it, you put a person when he's laying down. When a person is prone, that's how you look at this. And when a person is prone, his face is in one direction, his feet are in another direction. So if the feet are in the north, then his face is going to be in the south. Amalei Abaye. So Abaye says back to Rava, Adraba, Toritz va'otiv gavra. Why don't you upright him and sit down the gavra? Why does he have to be laying down prone? Maybe he's sitting up. If that's the case, his face and his feet can go in the same direction. Amalei Rabuaktiv. It says about the Mizbeach. Rabua iya mizbeach. The literal translation means that it'll be squared out. Now I was saying that the word rabua also teaches you that we're speaking about someone who is prone. Va'ami baile dimiraba ribue. Don't you need that to teach you that the mizbeach itself has to be square? How can you use it for a different limud? Miktiv miruba. The pasuk doesn't say miruba that it's squared out, but rather it says rabua. Ultamech miktiv rabutz. It doesn't say in the Pasuk that he is laying down. If it said Rabutz, I would agree with you. The fact that it says Rabua, how do you know that that's the case? You need it for the fact that it's squared out. Amalei Rabua Ktiv. The Mashmahochi, Umashmahochi. It has multiple meanings. Rabua can mean both squared, and Rabua can also mean prone. It's actually very interesting. My brother-in-law pointed out to me that the terminology to engage in relations is called, the active verb is Rava. And that is the position of the man in relations is prone. So there must be some connection over here between the word Ravua and Voveya, which is the fact that he's laying prone and engaging in marital relations. That's the description of the Ravua over here. That also has to connect to Ravua squared out, or something where a person is flat out like a square. Maybe those are all connected in terms of the shoresh amila, or the etymology of the usage of the term. The Tana mighty la mahocha, and the Tana brings the fact that the ramp is on the southern side from here, as opposed to the source that we brought from Rava of Rabua. The Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, umaluteo pinot kadim. In Yechezkel it says, when you rise, you turn to the east. Kol pinot shatapone lo yele derech yamin lemizrach. Any turn that you take should always be to the right side and to the east. So when the person ascends the ramp on the southern side of the Mizbeach, then your first turn as you rise would then be to the right. And if you went to the right, you'd end up on the east. So it must be that the ramp is on the southern side. Otherwise, when you ascend the Mizbeach and turn to the right, you're not going to end up in the east. The only way to end up in the east with the right turn is to go up the southern side of the Mizbeach. Vema small the Mizrach. How do you know it's a right turn? Maybe it should be a left turn into the east. All it says is you have to turn to get to the east. So if you ascend from the northern side and make a left turn, you also end up in the east. So how do you know it should be on the southern side and not the northern side? It says, Lo sakadatcho. That you wouldn't think. The Tani Rami Bar Yechezkel, Yamsha Sa Shlomo. The kior, or the water pool that was made by Shlomo Melech, Omeid, it stood on Shtemasar Bakar, on 12 oxen. Shlosha Ponim Tzapona. Three of them faced to the north. Ushlosha ponim yama. Three of them faced west. Ushlosha ponim negba. Three of them faced south. Ushlosha ponim mizracha. And three of them faced to the east. And from this pasuk you learn, kopinot, shatapuneh, loye derech yamin. When you make any turn, you always turn towards the right. They're proving this because the enumeration of the directions over here is in a counterclockwise manner. And the counterclockwise manner is because you start in the north, and then you move to the west, you'd be moving to the right, and then you move to the south, and then you move to the east. And as we discussed it with regards to the Mizbeach, it's true here by the Yam Shel Shlomo as well, and Rashi says it explicitly over here, Kishata makif shum davar, whenever you encircle anything, upanecha elav, and you are facing towards the object itself, then vatas sovivo, and now you are circling it, Mitzafon l'marav, you'll end up going from the north to the west. V'mincha, that is to your right. Ata olech, you're walking to the right side. So as long as you're facing the Mizbeach, or facing Yam Shel Shlomo, then what we said is true. You started out in the north, and then you move to the right while facing the Yam Shel Shlomo, then you'd be in the west. Take another right turn, you'll be in the south. Another right turn, you'll be in the east. And that's the direction which describes the 12 oxen that held up the Yam Shel Shlomo. That's the direction it goes around in a counterclockwise fashion. That teaches you that you should always go to the right. So now if I combine the two psukim together, I have the fact that in Yechezkel, if you go up and turn, you'll end up in the east. Then I have the puzzle by Yam Shel Shlomo, which says that all your turns are going to the right side. So I combine those. That means when you ascend the Mizbeach and turn right, you'll be in the Mizrach. The only way for that to happen is if the ramp is in the southern side of the Mizbeach. It says, how will we violate the Gufay? Don't you need that for the pasuk itself? I mean, to tell you how it was structured, going around the three oxen in each side. So how can you say that the word ponim here teaches you a binyan av, some sort of paradigmatic idea that everything has to be turning to the right? Where it says, in kein ponim, ponim lomali. Why does it say every time that it goes to a different direction, it says ponim in the pasuk? As it moves through, it says, shlosha ponim tzapona, Shlosha ponim yama, shlosha ponim negma, shlosha ponim mizracha. So why do you have to say ponim each time? So those extraneous words of ponim come to teach you that this is the way you need to conduct yourself. When you are turning and facing an object or encircling an object, you always go to the right side. So Rabbi Shimon ben Yossi ben Lekunya et Rabbi Yossi. Omer Raya Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Shimon Chai used to say, Avir Yesh ben Kevesh the Mizbeach. There was an airspace between the ramp and the Mizbeach. Amalov, v'ata i'ata umerkein. Why are you asking about whether Rabbi Shimon Yochai said that? Is that implying that you don't believe that's true? V'lo var ne'amar. Doesn't it say in the Pasuk, v'asita olotecha habasar v'adam, that you will process your olot, the flesh and the blood? There's a hackage between the basar and the dam. Teaching you, ma dam bizrika, just like dam is put on the Mizbeach, by actually throwing the blood towards the Mizbeach, apasar bizrika. So too the basar is done by zrika. What happens is when you ascend the kevesh up to the Mizbeach, there was a gap between that ramp and the Mizbeach itself, which would then force you to toss or throw the item onto the pyre of the Mizbeach. Omer lo, Shani Omer, Omeid b'tzad marachav, Zorek. He says, because I believe the Kohen goes next to the maracha, right next to the pyre, and throws it onto the pyre. Why do you need a gap between the Kevish and the Mizbeach to force him to throw the item? Let him just walk up to the pyre and throw it on top. Amalek, shu zorek la maracha, dulokahu zorek, o la maracha shena dulokahu zorek. When he throws it onto the maracha, does he throw it onto the area of the maracha that is lit, or the area of the maracha that is yet to be lit? So Avi Omer, and that's what I mean, la maracha dulokahu zorek. He has to throw it onto the area of the pyre that is burning. When you have the maracha, the mizbeach, you light the fire, and you have all the kindling and everything that's in there, and that starts the fire. That starts from the middle, and it slowly spreads out to the sides. So when he throws it on the pyre, he can't just throw it on the side in the area that has yet to be lit, or is raw material for fuel. He has to throw it where the pyre is lit itself. So of course, you're putting it onto a lit pyre, and you can't stand immediately adjacent to a lit pyre. So by definition, you're going to have to throw the item onto the pyre. And that's how I know that you have to throw things onto the pyre. It has nothing to do with putting a gap between the kevesh and the mizbeach. He says, Hata mishum delo efshar. Over there, the reason they do the zrika over there is because it's impossible to do it any other way. The only way to get the animal onto the area of the pyre that's burning is to throw the animal. I don't need a pasuk to tell me that. I would have known that even without a pasuk. So then the hekesh mitim basar v'dam that tells you that there is zrika must mean that there's a gap between the kevesh and the mizbeach. So that gapping forces you to have to throw the item from the kevesh onto the mizbeach. Rapapa amar kidam. That's be similar to blood. Madam avir karka mafsiko. Apasar avir karka mafsiko. So it's not enough that you're standing next to the pyre and throwing it on, because the throwing of the dam includes the dam traveling over an airspace that sees the floor of the azara. Similarly over here, the zrikat basar is done in an area where the carcass, whatever you're throwing on there, will cross over the karka ha'azara. And the only way for that to happen is to have a gap between the kevesh and the mizbeach, to have a gap between the ramp and the mizbeach. So actually over here you have different views within the Rishonim as to what the size of that gap is. Over here Rashi says that with regards to Rabbi Yossi Shita, Shalo haya rosh kevesh nogea b'mizbeach, el avir ma'at, mafsik ben daim. There's a small gap between the kevesh and the mizbeach. And Rashi in Shmot, Chav Zayin Hei, where he speaks about the issue of the kevesh, also says, "Kevesh haya b'darom ha-mizbeach, mutav min ha-mizbeach, melo chut ha-sara." It was a distance away, like a hair's breadth away from the mizbeach. So that's how Rashi describes it here in Rabbi Yossi's position, as well as in Chumash. The Baalei HaTosafot over here say that they think it was a little bit wider. He says, "Avir karka mafsiko." Karka lav davka. Doesn't mean it saw the floor of the Azara. Because the ramp, as we're going to see in a second, sat on top of the Sovev and on top of the Yisod. So even if you left a gap between the Kevesh and the Mizbeach, you still would not see the Karka ha-Azara. Below it, you would end up seeing the Sovev. And therefore, what he suggests over here, number one is that Karka is lav davka. Number two is, we're going to see in a second that the Gemara says from the word Saviv, you would have known already that you need a hair's breadth of space. That means if you have this hekesh between basar v'dam, it must be telling you that you need a bigger space than just a hair's breadth. And therefore, the shita the Tosfot over here is that halcha b'inan avir gadol v'nikar shehu l'tzorach avir. You need a visible and easily discernible gap between the ramp and the mizbeach. Not just a hair's breadth. It has to be visible that there is a gap over there. So it's slightly bigger. And the Rambam says something similar. Says Avir Ma'at Tayyamasik Ben Kevesh Tam Izbeach, as opposed to what he says by the smaller ramps, where he says Mavilim Izbeach Kemelo Nima, that where it's a hair's breadth away. So the smaller ramps are distance from Izbeach, just a hair's breadth. But the main Kevesh, the main ramp up, has a distance of Ma'at. So similar to the Baalei HaTosafot, he thinks it has to be more significant than it's a hair's breadth. Rashi thinks that it can be a hair's breadth difference. The Baalei HaTosafot seems to indicate it has to be more than it's a hair's breadth. But Rabbi Akiva Eger over here points you to a Tosafot on Pezayin Amud Bet, and the Baalei Tosafot over there quote from the Rabbeinu Chaim, who says that the gapping between the Kevesh and the Mizbeach was actually enough that you could actually see the Karka. I suppose Tosafot over here says it's Karka Lav Dafka. Over there, the Rabbeinu Chaim seems to be indicating that it's Dafka Karka. And that means that you would need at least and a ma and a little more for that to happen. There's no yisod over there, but there is a soveiv. So that means the kibbutz would have to have a gap of an ama between the ramp and the mizbeach itself, or a minimum of an ama. It has to be a little more than that in order that you could actually see the karka ha-azara. And he believes that when he says here there's a hekesh, that the blood travels over the karka zara, so too by the kevesh, there has to be a gap that's wide enough to allow you to see down to the karka. And that's a third sheet to hear about how far away this main ramp of the mizbeach was from the mizbeach itself. So now we have an introduction to something that we haven't seen until now, something that's also not mentioned in the psukim at all. But here we have a statement, Amar Rav Yehuda, Shnei kevashim kitanim yotzim min hakevesh. You have two small ramps that exit from the main ramp. Shebehad ponim liyesod ulesovev. From there you turn on to the yesod and to the sovev. Umuvdalim in a mizbeach lo nima. And they have to be off the mizbeach itself, not attached to the mizbeach, at least by a hair's breadth. Shum shenemar saviv. It says about the mizbeach saviv. Saviv implies that you can get something all the way around. That you can encircle the mizbeach somehow. Even if it's just a string or a hair's breadth, you can encircle it. So as long as they leave the smallest gapping, we saw the Rambam Paskins this way, as long as you have the smallest gapping between the small ramps and the mizbeach, then you are fine, and then you haven't violated the problem of saviv. So over here you have a description of these smaller ramps, which is actually a machloket mishonim as to what these ramps look like. I sent out in the handout that I sent out last night, the different views within the mishonim. Over here we have Shita Rashi, which also seems to be the Shita the Rambam. Here Rashi says that when you ascended the ramp, and then you went to the right side, there was a ramp from the main kevesh, the main ramp, to the right side onto the sovev. First of all, that allows you to access the sovev the same way you would access the mizbeach, going to your right, and starting as you go to the right, and continuing around to the right. That's why that ramp went out to the sovev. On the left side, there was a ramp that went to the yesod of the mizbeach. The reason for that ramp was so that they could quickly descend from the mizbeach and go to the yesod to pour the sheri adam before it coagulated. So that gave them access from the main kevesh down to the yesod itself. Rashi doesn't give you any location here as to where they are, except for the fact that he says with regards to the kevesh that goes to the sovev, he describes it as being, starts with shipulo shel kevesh, at the descent or the tail of the kevesh. It goes up at an angle until it reaches the soveiv. On the other hand, the one that goes to the sod, he says, comes off the left side or the western side of the main ramp. Starts at the descent of the kevesh. Rachok min hamizbeach. He adds in the additional adjective or phrase that it is far away from the mizbeach, which implies that the kevesh that went to the yisod was much further away from the mizbeach than was the kevesh that went to the sovev. And that's why we drew the picture here, which shows the one to the sovev higher up the ramp, and the one to the yisod further down the ramp, to give expression to what Rashi says over here, adds by the one to the yisod, that is rachok min hamizbeach. But from Rashi, and from the pashut pshat of the Gemara, there are only two ramps over here. One ramp that leads you to the sovev, the other ramp that leads you to the sod. If you look at the Balei Tosafot on Daf Samach Daled Amud Aleph, over there the Balei Tosafot bring Rashi's interpretation and are very bothered or perplexed by Rashi's interpretation. That means that when you went to the sovev, which is where, like for instance, a chatat, the avodat adam of the chatat was done, was going around the sovev, putting the dam on the karnot mizbeach. That means that once you encircled the whole mizbeach, you went around the mizbeach and got to the other end, you have no way to get off the mizbeach. You'd have to then backtrack over the entire way that you went to come back to the ramp of the sovev to descend from the sovev. Sovev is 6 amot off the floor. You're not jumping off of it. It's another 3 amot. Nobody's going to let you climb up onto the mizbeach. That's not kavod. So if you went off, according to Rashi, where you only have one ramp to the sovev, you'd go out to the sovev, go around the entire sovev to the southwestern corner, and then you'd have to backtrack back to the northeastern corner. You would get to the southwest corner. You have to go back to the southeastern corner to then descend from the sovev. So Balei Tosafot don't like that explanation. And therefore, they say, Lekach nira de'esham kevesh. He says, I think that there was a second ramp. There were two ramps that went to the sovev. One to the right, which was the entry to the sovev, and one to the left, which was the exit from the sovev. In addition, there was a ramp to the sod. The Balei Tosafot themselves point out the difficulty in the explanation, which is what we just saw over here. There were two small ramps that came off of the main ramp, which now, according to Tosfot, there are actually three ramps. There are two ramps to the Soveiv and one ramp to the Yisod. So how come Rabbi Yehuda is saying that there are two ramps when there are three ramps? And so the Baal Tosfot leave that as a tzarich iyun or a question on their own position. The Achronim, and I brought you one of them here, in the Shita of the Tosfot try to solve the problem by saying that in terms of Kvashim, ramps that came off the main ramp, there are only two. One that went to the right, to the Soveiv, and one that went to the left, to the Yisod. The one that Tosfot says was added, that also there was a descent ramp from the Soveiv when you got to the southwestern corner, they suggest that that ramp went down to the ramp of the Yisod. And therefore, you still can uphold Rabbi Yehuda's position that there are only two ramps that touch the main ramp, even though there really are three small ramps there. That is because the ramp of descending from the Soveiv descends down to the ramp of the Yisod, does not go back to the main Kevesh, to the main ramp. And that way, you can reconcile between the Shita that Tosfot and the Gemara that says that there are only two ramps that were there. So now, the Gemara said that you can't have these small ramps touching the Mizbeach, because that would be an abrogation of the necessity for the Mizbeach to be Saviv, that it be completely around, or that you can encircle it somehow without anything blocking it. Rabbi Abba Amar Rabua, that it has to be square. And that's why you can't put the ramps attached to the Mizbeach, because then it loses its shape as being square when you attach something to it. We need both terminologies over here to teach you the din. That is, because if we just told you that the Mizbeach has to have something to go around it, the Mizbeach would be circular, because then it would be Saviv, it would have clearance all around, and it would qualify as being Saviv. That's why the Torah wrote Rabua, to teach it has to be square and not circle. So they just write Rabua that has to be square. And if you attach the ramp to the Mizbeach, you lose the shape of a square. So Havamina, the Arich Mikotin. Rabua doesn't necessarily mean a square. Rabua means, so that's four sides to it at a right angle. So it could have been a rectangle, which would be long and narrow. Meaning that Rabua means a right angle, but doesn't mean that it has to be a square. It just means it has four right angles. So that could be a rectangle. Saviv comes to teach you, no, it has to be equidistant all around, and it has to be a square. So the two terminologies teach you, first of all, that it has to have four corners and not be circular. The other one teaches you that it has to be four equal sides to it, which is that it is a square and not a rectangle. So in the end, it has to be that the small fashim, the small ramps, abut the Mizbeach, but not attached to the Mizbeach. And that's what we said before, that they are separated from lo niman, that's the way the Rambam quotes it, la alocha. It's not atam. A kevesh v'mizbeach shishim ushtaim. That the kevesh and the mizbeach together add up to 62 amot. So the Gemara says, how could it be 62 amot? Shitim v'arba avu. They're really 64 amot. So how can you claim that they're 62? The mizbeach itself is 32 amot. We saw before the kevesh is 32 amot. Together they're 64 amot. How come you're telling me that they take up in the footprint of the floor 62 amot, when they take up really 64 amot on the footprints? We saw this earlier back on Daf Nun Dalet. And the answer of the Gemara was, Nimtza Poreach Amal Yisod V'Amal Al-Soveiv. That's because the ramp itself does not sit outside the Mizbeach, but rather the ramp itself sits in a position in which it abuts the Mizbeach, coming over the Yisod, or what would have been the Yisod over there, as well as over the Soveiv. So two amot of the kevesh are actually overlapping with the mizbeach. If you get the kevesh to go up towards the mizbeach or close to the mizbeach, you need it then to sit not only on the floor of the Azara, you need to sit on where there would have been the yisod there, and then another amount on top of the soveiv so that it gets close enough to the mizbeach. And in that way, there's an overlap between the kevesh and the mizbeach, two amot. So I take 32 and 32, that's 64, minus 2 is 62, and that's why the footprint took up 62 amot. The Gemara here uses the term poreach, that it's floating over it. That might be what you're suggesting over here, that if the ramps can't touch the Mizbeach because it ruins Saviv or ruins the squareness of the Mizbeach, then maybe over here you have to do the same thing. Although, maybe it's enough that the Mizbeach has a malon nima or gapping between it and the Mizbeach itself, and therefore the demand for Rabua is only on the upper part of the Mizbeach. And the Baal Yetos back on Nundalit says the equal with regards to the Ribua only relates to the upper part of the Mizbeach or the Makom HaMaracha, which would be the Gimel Amot El Yunot. And that way the gapping
above the Soviv was enough to accomplish that of Saviv. Although from the Tosafot, Tivei Matkal Af, on our top over here in Samach Bet, it sounds like from the answers that he gives there with regards to the height of the Mizbeach, the Bayatos were required for the entire Ten Amot, and then it would be more difficult. Then again, you'd either have to have a gapping away from the Mizbeach, enough that went under the Soveiv as well, which is what I showed in the pictures with regards to the gapping of the Avir Mizbeach, that space went all the way down and under the Soveiv as well, so that it was actually a gapping that allowed it that it didn't touch the Mizbeach whatsoever. So depending on whether you think it has to be all ten amot, that it's Saviv and Rabua, or is it just the Shlosh Amot on top, or the top of the Maracha that has to be Saviv, that would tell you whether the gapping had to be away from the Soveiv, or whether it only has to be above the area of the Soveiv. Okay, Amar Rami Bar Chama, Kol Kivshei Kvashim, Shlosh Amot Yama. Rashi Yosef here says, any ramp, big and small in the Mikdash, had an ascent or a steepness that was one amah of height for every three amot of distance. So as you move three amot, you climbed one amah, which is a steeper form of climb. Kozmi kibshosha mizbeach, exception of the ramp of the mizbeach, she has shlosh amot, umechsa ve'etzba ushlish etzba bezichruta, which was 3.5 amot, plus a etzba, and a third of an etzba. The Girsa Rashi is bezichruta, which means that it's using the smaller etzbaot, which means four thumbs. A tefach is either made up of six fingers or four thumbs. So here he's using the four etzbaot of the thumbs. So now if you do the calculation based on what the Gemara is telling you here, you have two different types of ramps. You have a ramp that uses a steepness of 3x1, which is that every three amot it ascends an amah. And then you have the main mizbeach, or the kevesh mizbeach, which every amah of height actually takes it 3.55 amot to get there. The calculation for the 3.55 amot, and Rashi does this, if you take the height of the ramp, which is actually 9 amot, remember that the ramp only reaches the maracha area of the mizbeach. The 10th amah is created by the karnot of mizbeach, the corners of mizbeach, so the ramp is only 9 amot high. We know the base of the ramp reaches 32 amot, so that means if you take 32 amot and divide it by 9, so 32 divided by 9 is about 3.55. That is expressed by the Gemara here in 3.5 amot plus an etzba and a third of an etzba. If you multiply 3.5 amot by 9, because that's the 9 amot of height, so that means how far is it going? So 9 times 3.5 gets you 31.5 amot. 9 times an etzba, 1 etzba is 9 etzbaot. 9 times a third of an etzba is 3 etzbaot. If you add the 9 etzbaot with the 3 etzbaot, you end up with 12 etzbaot. 12 etzbaot when a tefach is 4 etzbaot and there's 6 tefachim in an amah means that there are 24 etzbaot in an amah. So now if I take the extra 12 etzbaot, that's another half an amah. If I take the half an amah and add it to the 31.5, I get 32 amot. So that's basically what the Gemara did. It took 32 amot of footprint, 9 amot of height, and now divides that 32 amot into 9. Now from that you learn that every amah of ascent takes 3.55 amot to make it. That means that the steepness of the larger ramp, it's less steep than what's described by the other ramps. The other ramps go up an amah in 3 amot. And if you actually do the arc tangent of these numbers, you can actually get to the degrees of ascent. That is for the larger ramp. For the ramp of the Mizbeach, the angle of ascent is about 15.7 degrees. At the top angle would be 74.3 degrees. And for the smaller ramps, the arctangent, the lower angle would be 18.4 degrees. And that means that the angle at the top was 71.6 degrees. And that would give you the steepness of the ramps. The problem that's caused by that, and the handouts that I sent out, I show you that, is that means that the smaller ramps to the side are much steeper than the main ramp up to the Mizbeach. Rashi claims the reason for that is because the Kohanim had to carry heavy things up the main ramp, and it was slippery, so they made it a shallower ascent to make it easier for the Kohanim to ascend with all the heavy items that they needed to take on the Mizbeach. But that creates a problem, which is, if you have ramps to the side, the smaller ramps, that descend at a faster decline, they are steeper decline, and they start from a lower point. The ramps on the side, remember, start at the Soveiv, and they start at the Yisod HaMizbeach, which is below the top of the Mizbeach. It's just a rule of geometry. If you have ramps that start at a lower point and are descending at a steeper decline, they will never meet a ramp that is coming down at a shallower steepness or shallower decline that starts at a higher point. They will hit the ground before they ever hit the ramp. And therefore, you have really a big problem now, which is all those pictures that we showed before about the small kvashim, the small ramps. How could it be that the small ramps ever met the big ramp? Because of the fact that they decline at a much faster pace than the main ramp. And they start from a lower point. They physically can't meet up with the ramp. The only possibility to explain that is to say that this statement here of Rami Bar Chama is not in concert with the position of Rav Yehuda that brought before that you had these two smaller ramps that joined up with the main ramp. And they're actually arguing about it. And that for Rami Bar Chama, either there were no small ramps, or the small ramps descended directly to the floor of the Azarah and didn't come into the Kevesh, the main ramp of the Mizbeach. But you have to know geometrically that the steepness here creates a huge problem in terms of connecting the smaller ramps to the larger ramps. The other thing the Baal Yetosfot point out, if this is the way that the ramps work, the steepness of the ramps, then you actually run into a problem depending on where you thought the Mizbeach stood. Remember that we had before the possibilities that the Mizbeach was in the north, the Mizbeach was in the south, the Mizbeach was centered. Now, if you believe the Mizbeach is all the way to the south, plus you have to have a ramp that ascends to the Mizbeach. Now, according to Rabbi Yossi, that height of the Mizbeach is 10 amot. That means you need a ramp to get up to 10 amot. And according to our steepness that we're describing here, that means you need a 32 amah footprint to get there. The problem is, in the Mishkan, there's not enough room to get in a ramp and a Mizbeach all on the southern side. The Chatzer is only 100 amot by 50 amot, so it's only 50 amot wide. That means the half area, half to the south is 25 amot. If everything's in the southern side, you have to fit the Mizbeach and the Choshet there, which is 9 amot, and you have to fit in a ramp that's 32 amot. There's not enough room to get a ramp in there. Or, if you're going to put in a ramp, the ramp would have to be extremely steep. Now, the Baal Yetosfot over here only say that it's 5 amot by 5 amot. Truth is, it's bigger than that, because if you add in a Soveiv, if there is a real Soveiv, it's an Amah. And if you add in a Yisod, that's an Amah. That's also another 4 amot that you'd have to add in there and make it 9 by 9. And that would make it very difficult to get a ramp. You'd have to have a super steep ramp to get it there. And he says, V'Rabbi Yossi, Damar Leo, Mizbeach Boa, Eser Amot. According to Rabbi Yossi, who thinks the Mizbeach is 10 amot high. Rochav Chamesh, and it has 5 by 5 on the top. L'tamei Damar Kulei Mizbeach B'Tzafon Gai. According to his own reasoning that the Mizbeach is in the north, what you have to do is say not it was right over the midline into the north, you'd have to actually have it pushed so far to the north that you could fit in a ramp that was 32 amot long. If you do that, then none of the Mizbeach is sitting petach ol moed. So you have to push it so far to the north in order to allow for the ramp to be put in there. So then you have to say, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that the Mizbeach is 10 by 10. That means 3 amot high and no more than 3 amot high. For him, then you can actually get in a ramp that is of this steepness and that would fit in the area of the south or the north because you wouldn't have a 32 amot ramp then. To keep the steepness, you would have to have a much smaller ramp. But given that, the Baal Yetosfot would leave it as a tzarachiyun, how these principles or these numbers worked inside of the Mishkan, especially for Rabbi Yossi, who says that the Mizbeach is 10 amot high, it's very hard to have a ramp that's going to ascend to the top of the Mizbeach, 9 amot, 10 amot, that would not then be such an expanse that it would either push the Mizbeach so far to the north that it was no longer Petach HaMoed, or be impossible to put it on the southern side of the Mishkan. All right, we're going to stop here by the Mishnah on the top of Samach Gimel Amud Aleph.